Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
We're going to go ahead and turn over to Philippians, if you will, the book of Philippians. We're going to talk about 2012. You know, 2011 is behind us. It was a good year for most, but I know that every one of us hit a few speed bumps. And you know, when you're racing through the lot and you hit a speed bump, it can shake you up a bit, can't it? You know, when you're racing, when you're running your race. Amen? And then you hit a speed bump, and the next thing you know, you're stumbling and reeling and bouncing and everything else, right? We have a new year ahead of us. Our future is ahead of us. This year, what happens between now and December 31st is going to be completely and 100% determined by what we do with it every day. Now, we can go ahead and do things like we did last year, make the mistakes that we made last year, and keep on having the same results. Or we can go ahead and take those things that we learned last year, those things that we discovered which are right and godly, and do those things, and we'll have the results that come from that too. Chapter 2 of Philippians. I'll read it out of the King James. You can read along in your version, whatever it be. And let me just say this to you. If you have a Bible in your hand, even if it's not a King James, it's still a good thing. You'll get something out of it. It's still the Word of God. And if you'll esteem it as the Word of God, you'll get God's promises out of it. Amen? Praise God. Reading out of the King James in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man should look on the things of others." What should our focus be on? Other people. You know, the thing about folks today in the body of Christ is that they have become so need conscious that they have become needful. The church is so needy. That's because they're so need conscious. They are so conscious of what they need. And the bulk of their time is spent praying and talking about what they need. But this scripture right here tells us that that is exactly the opposite of how we should be thinking, how we should be praying, how we should be talking, and how we should be acting. Is that right? It says right here, reading it out of the Amplified, it says, "Let each of you esteem, honor, look upon, and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also for the interests of others." The Word of God tells us that it is better to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give. Do you understand that when you are concentrating on giving, giving of yourself, giving of your wealth, giving of your time, giving of your services, giving of your energy, giving of yourself to others, do you understand that when you're doing that, you're actually taking your mind off of you and putting it on others? And God says there's a blessing in that. You will reap what you will sow. Praise God. Hallelujah. So look what it says in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, now, isn't that how Jesus did things? He wasn't interested in himself. He was more interested in others. As a matter of fact, he was so interested in others that even when he planned on going one way, if somebody came up and had a need, he would go out of his way to meet that need. He would take the time and spend whatever energy he had to see to it that their needs were met before his needs. See, if we want blessing, the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ." We need to renew our mind. We need to get our focus off of, "This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. I want this. This is what I want. Me, 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 me. I'm not happy until I have what I want, because it's all about me. My emotional needs need to be fulfilled. My financial needs need to be fulfilled. My physical needs need to be fulfilled, because it's about me. It's all about me. Because everything that we need to talk about is about me." Now, That's enough talking about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? That's how people think. That's how people talk. Their mind is so focused on it. But the Word of God says what? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He always looked out for the interests of others. No, I want things to change. Now, we had a good year, and I thank God for it. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. I'm supposed to be growing in faith, growing in wisdom, growing in knowledge, growing in these things, becoming more and more mature. I'm not supposed to be staying in the same place, doing the same thing, speaking the same way, having the same bad dreams, you know, having up days and down days and everything else like that. I don't want any more of that. Do you? No. Let this mind be in you, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you're in chapter 2. Just look over in chapter 3. Now, here's the thing about making mistakes. Everybody makes them. How many of you have discovered that you're not perfect yet? I know that may come to a surprise as a surprise to a lot of people. But let me just say this, you're not perfect yet. How many of you discovered last year that we didn't know as much as we thought we did? That maybe there were some things that we had to correct in our thinking? How many of you discovered that what we thought God would do and what God said He would do, the way He said He would do it, completely different? Amen. You know, the Bible will tell us the truth. Praise God. Amen. How many of you wish you could go back into 2011 and change a few of the things you said to some people? Change a few of the things you did? Change a few of those mistakes? Make a few corrections? Unfortunately, we can't. And the devil knows that. And he'll use that if you let him. He will keep you in that place of regret. And maybe it's not 2011 you're thinking about. Maybe it's 2010 or 9 or 8, 7654-3210. Maybe 1999, 98, 97, 96, 95, and all the way back to the day of your birth. He's got only a naughty list. Satan doesn't have a nice list. He just keeps track of all the faults because he's called the accuser of the brethren. And if you let him, he will accuse you night and day. And 2012, instead of being the dream of glory that God has for you, it will become a nightmare of living in the past. But we don't live in the past. And so God has given us the way to move forward into 2012 and come out the other side. Praise God. And it says so in the Word. Can we look at it? Philippians chapter 3, starting now again, a precedent. Now pay attention. Did you know it doesn't do any good to be taught the Word if you don't receive the Word and if you don't do what you receive? Hallelujah. So let's see what it says. Finally, well, that means, okay, I'm done with my conversation. I've said everything I'm going to say. Let's sum it all up. Finally, my brethren, what's it say? Rejoice in the Lord. What are we supposed to do?
Rejoice.
If you're rejoicing, tell your face. Amen. Get a dance in your step. Get some cheer in your voice. Get rid of all the drama. I said, get rid of the drama. Get rid of that melancholy, sadness, emotional nonsense, garbage, and start rejoicing. I said, start rejoicing. And God says, don't stop, because He said, rejoice. Do you know what rejoice means? It means that whatever you're doing, do it again. Rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Notice it says, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, you may not be able to rejoice over the trouble, but you can rejoice in the Lord because Jesus said, listen, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. In other words, rejoice because I've overcome the world. So when you're in Christ, you've overcome that thing. When you're in Christ, and you'll know when you're in Christ by whether or not you're rejoicing. Because He says, rejoice in the Lord. So you can tell when you're back into the world and into the natural mind. And when you get out of that place, you are no longer over that thing. That thing is over you. You've come back under the authority of that problem. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is indeed not grievous, but for you it's safe. Notice what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I know I've told you this before, but I'm telling you again. And it's safe for you. And it's no problem for me. Praise God. Thank God that Paul was a good teacher. Amen. Now look at where it says. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. I'm going to read this out of the NIV, do you mind? Because it's more understandable in modern English. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ. Let me ask you a question. What is more important to you? The approval of your Lord or the fulfillment of your emotional and fleshly desires? What is more important to you? What are you willing to give up? Because you understand there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of things, if they're not willing to give up, they're not willing to set them aside. I don't know about you, but Paul says, hey, I consider all that stuff rubbish. There's a lot of people I've left behind in my life. I'm looking for the approval of God. There's a lot of things I've set aside. Let me ask you a question, by the way. Is He your Lord? Now, I know He's your Savior. Listen to me. I know He's your Savior. But is He your Lord? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the one making the decisions? Ask yourself the next time you're about ready to do something or say something. If He was there, and He is, would you do what you're about to do? Would you say what you're about to say? Would you watch what you're about to watch? Think about it. I consider them rubbish, praise God, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. This should be our statement. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Should be what we all say. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Listen, we're not talking about being crucified. Don't get all legal and lawful and say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that. If that means suffering for Christ, suffering for Jesus, let me just tell you something. Every Christian suffers for Jesus. What I mean by that is the Word of God says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. All those that would live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You will have troubles. You understand that when Jesus was on earth, there were things that came against Him that He had to stand against. You understand, Jesus got hungry when He didn't eat. He got thirsty when He didn't drink. His body would get tired if it didn't get rest. You understand that? And the enemy would try to come against Him in all sorts of ways. Well, same thing with us. Amen. That's what it's talking about, the fellowship of His sufferings. There are many times when God asks us to do things that are downright inconvenient. They're just downright inconvenient. Somebody asks you for a ride to church and you got to go out of your way to do it. That's downright inconvenient. Somebody asks if you can help them out financially and you only have enough for you. But yet at the same time, you've got food to eat and everything else when you feel more comfortable to have that extra $7 in your pocket. But they need that $7. Well, see, that's a sacrifice now to give it, isn't it? It's a suffering. Amen. Amen. That's what it's talking about, the fellowship of His suffering. Giving of yourself when it's not easy to give. Amen. But look at, I want to know Christ. Do you? Yeah. And the power of His resurrection. There is power in that resurrection, praise God, that we have available to us. Glory to God. Now, but then he says this. This is Paul now. He's an apostle. He's written 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says this. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made mature. Well, it seems like he's obtained a few things. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have fully taken hold of it. But one thing I do, say one thing.
One thing,
one thing I do, say one thing. One thing I do. Now listen, we're about to find out how to have a successful year. We're about to find out how to make this year different from last year. All right? It's the first day of the new year. We're about to find out how Paul did it. And Paul is telling us by the Holy Ghost how we should do it. how to make this year a successful year. Praise God. He says this, one thing I do, I forget what is behind me. I forget about all the mistakes and failures of the past. I forget about all those things I said and did that I should not have said and done. I forget about it. I put it all behind me. I forget about what everything that everybody did and said to me that offended me and made me mad and upset me and broke my heart and hurt my feelings. I forget about it. I put it all behind me and I press forward towards what is ahead. God's got good plans for us this year. Praise God. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. And they're not to harm you. They're for good, to prosper you, to give you hope, to give you a future, to bring you to an expected end. Press forward. Look for what's ahead. Maybe I didn't get it last year, but I'm darn well going to see it this year. Maybe I didn't get that raise and that increase financially last year that I wanted, but I'm going to get it this year. I'm going to see it this year. So maybe my family didn't come together the way I wanted it to last year. But this year, praise God, we will. Because I'm going to strain and press towards that mark. I'm going to see to it that I put all my energy into it, praise God. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And those things will be added to me this year. I press towards the goal to win the prize. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me to in Christ Jesus. God wants to reward us. He wants to give us the thing that we are seeking, that we desire. He wants to give it to us. Well, He did. If you asked Him for it, He gave it. Now stop thinking about it, wondering about it, whining about it, begging Him for it, thinking on it, meditating on it. Stop it. He gave it. Now press towards the goal. What is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get your mind off your problems and off your all that nonsense and get it on God. Get your mind off that stuff and get it on God. You should not have another thought about it. If you believe you received it when you prayed, what in the world are you thinking on it for? I said, why are you thinking about it? I said, why are you thinking about it? If you believed you received it and it's done, why are you thinking about it? You know the only reason you think about it? Because you don't believe it's done. That's why the Word of God says, forget that stuff. Put it all behind you. We got a new year ahead of us, praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. And then it says this in verse 15, all of us who are mature. How many of you would like to think that you're spiritually mature? Put your hand up. Like to think that, right? I sure would like to think I'm spiritually mature. Those of you that have been here, I'll tell you what, you are more spiritually mature than most of the body of Christ out there right now. Because you've learned some things. Now, you may not be as spiritually mature as the Lord wants you to be. You may not even be as spiritually mature as you should be and could be had you done what you were supposed to do. But put that stuff behind you. Put that stuff behind you. Forget about that. Think about this year. And God says this, all of us who are spiritually mature should take such a view of things. We should be thinking like this. Amen. And then He's got some good news for those that aren't. He says, and if on some point you think differently, that's all right. God will make it clear to you. I like that, right? Jesus has told us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. The way you think is the way you are. And the way you think is what you're going to believe. And your believing is going to be affecting what you say and what you do. And that's going to affect your life. The way you think is going to affect this year. So let's change our thinking. Let's get our thinking in line with the Word of God, with what He says to do. Let this mind be in you. Get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off yourself. Well, I just feel so lonely. I just feel so afraid. I just feel so worried. Get your mind off that stuff. Start thinking about others. Start thinking about what's good for others. You know, it's not necessary that they know what you think. Let me just tell this to you. It's not necessary that you give them a piece of your mind because you know you just have to. That's not necessary. Think about them. I said, think about them. Think about the people you work with. Think about the people you meet. Think about your neighbors. Think about these folk. You know, there's a whole lot of people out there that have a whole lot less than you do. So get your mind on them. And forget all the nonsense. And forget all the mistakes. And forget all the failures. Not only your own, but those of others. Forget about what your wife said to you that made you mad. Forget about what your husband said to you that made you angry. Forget about what somebody said to you that hurt your feelings. Forget about what the doctor said to you that wasn't good. Forget about that stuff. Forget about what your coworkers did. Forget about how your neighbor messed up. Forget about how your children, you know, dishonored you. Forget about that stuff. It's not doing you any good, and it's not helping them. Forget about it. Forget about it. But what? I press towards what is ahead. What's ahead of you? You've got a whole new year ahead of you. Praise God. We've got a whole new year ahead of us. It's a year of hope. It's a year of blessing. It's a year of blessing. You know, my wife and I, we have something that we say at the end of every year and at the beginning of every new year. We say this: this year was a good year. It was the best year ever. This next year, this is going to be better than last year. This is going to be a year of blessing. This is going to be a year of increase. This is going to be a year of glory. Start saying it. See, Jesus said, if you say it and believe that what you say will come to pass, you'll have it. You need to say it. This is my year of blessing. This is my year of increase. This is my year of health and healing. This is my year. This is my year. This is my year. He said, I press towards the goal to win the prize. I press towards the goal. I'm pressing in. You know what that means? To press. Brother Will, come on up here. I'm going to show you how an irresistible force meets an immovable object. Amen. You press. It's like you're trying to move this. I'm pressing until he moves. And you know, if this is what's standing in my way of my blessing, I'm going to press this thing, press right on through it until I have to. Press in. Don't give up. And don't look back. Get forward. I like what Caleb said after they had gone in and conquered all of the lands, and the lands have been divided among the tribe. Caleb, here he is at 85 years old. He looks at the one place. He's looking at the mountain where the giants lived. They didn't go anywhere near that place until now. And here's Caleb, and he's 85 years old. And he says, listen, when I was here all those years ago, Moses promised me this hill, this one right here. Said I could have it as an inheritance for me and my people. And he said this. He said, now I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong today as I was then. Now give me that mountain so that I may go in and possess what's mine. Yes, see, he didn't look back and say, oh, that was 40 some odd years ago. I was in much better shape then than I was and I am now. No, he didn't look back. He looked forward. He said, give me that mountain. Y'all, give me that mountain. So what if there's giants there? I'm going to go take it. It's mine. What do you want this year? Don't you want what God has for you this year? Don't you want to see your family restored? Don't you want to see your children off drugs, healed and healthy, strong and free, blessed, delivered and redeemed? Don't you want to see your business thriving and prospering? Don't you want to see your marriage strong and filled with love and glory of God? Don't you want to see yourself increase? Don't you want to see these things? Press in. Press in. Look forward. Just look forward. Put all that stuff behind you and press forward. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. God says, I know the plans I have for you this coming year. I know what they are, and they're good. Say they're good.
Good.
They're good. They're not to harm you. They're good. They're plans to prosper you, to cause you to succeed, to prosper you, to give you hope and a future, to bring you to an expected end. What is God's expected end? Glory. Prosperity, health, and healing, strength.
Yes.
Amen. Everything. Praise God. That's his plan for this year. Now, maybe you missed it last year, but that's all right. It's this year. Last year is gone. Now we got this year. Praise God. Growth. Increase. Growing in every way. Amen. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Well, the Word of God says, let such as love the salvation of the Lord say continually, let God be magnified. Stand on up. Let's begin to give glory to God and rejoice, because he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up your voice. Lift up your hand. Every one of you. I said, lift up your voice. Lift up your hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Thank you for the year that's ahead of us. Thank you for the plans you have for us. Thank you for the good things you've got in store for us. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for increase. Thank you for miracles. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We give you praise and thanksgiving in advance. We let you know that we believe this year is going to be a good year. It's going to be the best year yet. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 A year of blessing. A year of blessing. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. This year, I will walk. I will walk in the healing of God. This year, I will walk in the provision and prosperity of God. This year, I will walk in the full deliverance of God. This year, I will walk in the miracles of God. This year, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. This year, my life will be a life of miracles. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Oh, glory to God. It's important to talk like that. It's important to say it. And when things start looking the opposite, you start saying what we just said. You just start speaking it to overcome those things. Amen. And press through. What did he say? He said, I press on. You know, he wrote this too. He said, listen, not everyone who runs the race gets the prize, but the one who finishes, they're the ones that get the prize. Run to win. Amen. Today is the first day. Start off good, but keep running to get the prize until you see it manifested in your life. You press in. As he said, I press towards the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, for your promise, for this year that lies before us, for your plans that are good. Thank you for it all, Father. Oh, thank you. And when we come to the end of the year, we'll be able to look back and say thank you again for all that you've done. But we thank you in advance because we know you're faithful. So we give you praise and glory, honor and thanksgiving now and forever in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, you can say amen. Glory to God. Well, you know.
Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran. Did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com.